Ezekiel 3:25-27. And you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be silent and unable to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious people. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whoever will listen, let them listen, and whoever will refuse, let them refuse, for they are a rebellious people. I want to read that again because I'm a little bit slow in reading it. And you all, hopefully you have your Bible, you can read it all. So I'm going to see if I can sit up straight, and that'll make my airflow better. Okay. He said, and you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be silent and unable to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious people. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whoever will listen, let them listen, and whoever will refuse, let them refuse, for they are a rebellious people. I thank God today for the lesson, and the lesson is based on our life, you all. It just bottom line lies. God chose Ezekiel to be a speaker for him. When you go back and read the book of Ezekiel, you know that he was a person that God gave many words to go out and tell the people. Bottom line, God told him what to say to the people. And this was one of Ezekiel's frustrating moments. He had got frustrated because he was constantly telling the people what to do and they didn't want to believe him. He told them what God said. I love the fact that today when God tells me something, it's written. I don't say to you what to say it in the Bible. That because I know folks, I got a degree, I got a PhD in Negroes. I'm gonna say the other word one day to you. I got a PhD in Negroes way back in the 1990s. In the latter part of 1980s, I know who we are and how we are. That's why he had me to write the book, Crabs in the Basket, but he escaped the basket. A lot of us are stuck in traditions, stuck with other people. That's all we know, because that's natural how we stand. We listen to what people say. Now, the call to Ezekiel was to speak to the people of Israel and to act as a sentry, that's as a speaker to them, an intercessor to them. And a voice between God spoke to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel was supposed to speak to the people. That's what Jesus tells us to do. Acts 1:8, he tells us to go out and tell somebody about the good news, the gospel. But many of us are still on nipples and we can't get there. Still on pablum, still we insecure because of people. Now, God told Ezekiel that he'll be held responsible. If God tells him to warn the wicked about their sins, and doesn't follow through, he'll be held accountable for the blood of anyone who turns to sin and dies because Ezekiel failed to warn them. That's what God does today. These preachers that God tells them to say the word and they don't say it the way God says tell it, and they say what the people want to hear. They're responsible. Their blood, the people's that died, their blood was on that person's hand. And I'll read this again. God tells him to warn the wicked about their sins. If you're a called person, if you're a chosen person to teach the word of God, to go out and tell somebody about the word about Jesus, you know, like I said earlier, the pablum time, the milk time, the titty time is over with. The bell has rung. Recess is over, you all. The bell has rung. Recess is over. It's time to get up and do something. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you're going to die. So you make a choice as to what you want to do. Now, go ahead on. He said, you'll be, he said to Ezekiel, if you don't follow through, You'll be held responsible for the blood of anyone who turns to sin and dies because Ezekiel failed to warn them. Even in my own teaching, if I don't follow what the word says, I'm held responsible. If you go your own direction and do your own thing, and I didn't tell you what God says, that your blood is on my hand. It's not going to be on my hand, because I'm going to tell you what God says. If I can't do it, but tap it out. If the enemy tries to take my whole breath, I can tap it out one kind of way or another. I'm going to say what God said because I know what God wants me to do. Let's see. Let me go ahead on now. Now, Ezekiel, through Ezekiel's action, we saw that we learned that the spiritual is just as important as the physical. Think about that a minute. What happens in our spiritual life is just as important as the physical. Now, God's power and plan for his people surpasses the physical limitations of our life on this earth. He will never, God will make things new over and over again. When we started out doing this lesson 3 years ago, we started out right after my brother's homegoing, and I came home and we were doing the lesson up until March. And then March is when I had the three strokes, but I haven't stopped. I may have taken a couple when I was really, really not able. My left side wasn't moving, but my mouth was still moving. What they can, the physical therapist would come in and put an electro shot, put a pad on my face, on my left side of my face, and that was an electro shot. That was so that I could pull my face from the, you know, my jaw and all from the, they had gone to my right side to put it back where it was supposed to be. I don't know whose phone. Are you all still there? Okay. I don't know whose phone that is. Oh, okay. Go. Let me go ahead on. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. When we look at Ezekiel down to chapter 3:20, it said, "And I lay a stumbling block before him that I permit him to be tried, and the fall in the trial." God is repeatedly represented as doing things which he only permits to be done. A lot of the things we go through when we do have a relationship with God, when we know who he is, know he's called us what to do, some of the things and the trials and the stumbles and the stones that throw at us, God, that is a testing. It's a testing of our faith. When you say, well, I need patience, you just ask God for more tests, for more trials, for more things to happen. If you don't believe me, Google it. I'm going to start back saying that. Google it if you don't believe me. Every time you ask God for patience, oh, I need patience. How are you going to get patience if you sit still and you never have anything to happen to you? You don't have no patience. You can't get it. The only way you get patience is by going through something and see how you act once you go through it. He permits one to be laid down. It's called, like I said, it's called a testing of our faith when some of these things go through. And we say, well, I'm just being obedient and do what God said. No, you're going through a test. And if you don't do nothing, you don't do anything, you never get through. This, I'm saying goodbye to my baby. Bye, Kenny. Okay, now Ezekiel, let's look at Ezekiel 37, verses 3 to 5. Ezekiel 37, verses 3 to 5. So he asked me, son of man, can those bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to those bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the bones. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. And I want to pause a little bit, you all. That was just another word that the Lord has spoke to Ezekiel. Sometimes God tells us something, it amazes us. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. But I'm showing this is another thing that God has said to Ezekiel. Most of us have already read this. We read it in the Bible. You can picture, feel nothing but dead bones, dry bones. And he's talking about human bones, not animal bones, you all. He said human bone. And God told Ezekiel to speak to the bones. He said, God said, he asked Ezekiel, son of man, Can these bones live? Imagine that, you all, in your brain. Just think about what God is asking. If God asks you, say, Vera, do you think you're going to walk again? And Vera says, yes, I know I'm walking. I just need to get this physical body to catch up with spiritually what I'm believing. But like I said, God says things to us, and we have to take time and realize what he's saying to us. Now, when God tells you something, are you obedient? Are you able to even hear what the Lord is saying to you? In the process, when you are obedient to the Lord, you're always going to get some old tailbaggers, some old busybodies, some old saints that's always going to question, some of more than religious than thy persons that always have a question. Always. And this isn't the natural, you all. You all know it. If you don't have people asking about what you're doing, something is wrong. Again, I'm going to say it. I'm going to keep saying it. You are not doing what Acts 1 and 8 says. If everything is going perfect, even on your job, you're doing a great job. You're always on time. And then you got some little busybody, some blackhead, little, what they call braid-wearing person that say, well, why she always got favor? Maybe I got favor because I mind my own business and I get here on time and I do my work. Maybe that's why I got a bigger bonus than you got. You all got to learn how to do that. And if you're not doing it, if you're not receiving a bigger bonus, something is wrong. You're not obeying what God tells you to do. I just want to know, this is a question you can ask yourself. Where are you? Are you doing what you have to do for the Lord? And that's mean, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing. We don't have to suffer for God. I mean, sometimes it feels like we're going through a suffering situation, but most of the situation, we put our own self in it. Because we always want to be little Jesus's. And when we little Jesus's, nothing but trouble is going to come because Jesus already paid the price. We don't have to pay another price. We just have to stand up for truth. Stand up for truth. I want to tell you a story that I heard many years ago. Most of you have heard this story also. This is about a farmer that was out doing his work. He had a horse. And the horse was just trotting along on the pasture, doing whatever, but it happened to be a big old hole down an old well, and the bricks had fallen all in, and the horse fell in the hole. Picture that. The horse fell in the hole, and the farmer couldn't get it out, so he called some of his neighbors. Neighbors, come help me get my horse out. And the neighbor came in and looked and said, no, we can't get him out. We can't get him out. And so we just might as well go ahead and bury the horse. And so they decided to do just that. They decided to all his little neighbors that decided to help him went and got their own little shovel. Yeah, they want to bury his situation and get it all over with, get it done. So what they did, they threw dirt in, kept throwing dirt in. Every neighbor throwing dirt in. And every time they threw dirt in, the horse would step on top of it and pack it down. Kept throwing more dirt, kept packing it down. The horse step on top of it and pack it down. Picture this, you all. Pack it down. More dirt. Pack it down. Until finally the horse reached, came up to the rim of the hole and stepped over and went on ahead about his business. That's how life can be. I want to tell you my testimony now. In our life, you know, sometimes, you know, like I said, they wanted to bury the horse, but think about this. I want you to think about this. I've been through many trials and tribulations. Many, I can say, stuff, a lot of vicissitudes of life. At any time, I could have just, this one here that I'm in now is surely a testing of a trial of my faith. I could have given up a long time ago, but how I was raised and who taught me as a child and what I see, what I've seen and what I've been through, I the give up spirit was not in me. I know how to get, and that's mostly why I'm in this situation, because I work. And I don't mean necessarily work cleaning and cooking all that. I have ministered to many people. But in 2019, that was the ministry of my life that caused me to be in this situation here from 2020 on. But when I was in corporate, I worked very hard in corporate. And I'll say life period, just in general in life, I've always had people in my life. I've always had people to say different things. But I want to go back here a minute. When I was a young girl, and I think maybe about 18, 19, 20 years old, my mother said to me one time, and I'll never forget, "What does it matter to you what they say?" I've learned this over many, many. She said, "What does it matter to you? They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, so it matter to you." I stuck with that, and I believe what my mother said, because what people say don't bother me. I've learned it, you all. I'm 75 years old, and whatever the H-E-L-L somebody says, I just look at him and say, well, they got some criticism. I know what will happen to him because I know who I am. There's a scripture in there about, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm." So whoever puts a tongue on Vera, you best watch it. You all need to check your phone. I don't know if this is, I don't know. Don't touch anything. Keep going. Okay, so through the years, like I said, I've had people to actually criticize me on the job, off the job, but especially in the church. Because I am a true Bible teacher, and I'm going to tell you what the Word of God said. I'm not the one that's going to pacify it. I've never been the one that pacified it. And I've been teaching pretty much strictly and strongly since about 1988, when I went into a Baptist church, and I saw all the sin there. But they grabbed hold on me because I'm a professional person, and my tithe and check at any time during the week might have been $500. So naturally, the deacon's gonna grab hold of somebody and try to put them in the leadership category when you're paying a $500 tithing check a week. All right, I know this is what black folks do. I know that, but that amount is nothing in some of the larger Caucasian churches that I've gone through. But because of who I was, even in the corporate life at that time, they wanted me to become the administrator. I became the treasurer. First, they made me the treasurer. Then I became the church administrator. And then I became the head of the women's ministry. That because I knew I had organization skills. And most of all, that was a Baptist church. And you could tell that Vera Glass had the Spirit of God living in here, because I didn't have a problem talking about Jesus. But I didn't have a problem. But through all of that, you still get tongue waggers. You get haters. You know, black folks gonna hate, they're gonna hate. And the white people don't care that much about us, but the black ones will hate you. They hate you. Let a sister know that you just got a new dress. Well, where'd she get that money for that? She ain't got no money to be buying no dress. I bet she ain't even paying nothing. I put three girls through college. Three. And that was before they went off and got married. I put three of them. I got three of them out of high school, and I put three of them through college with a one income, and that was my income. And I don't brag about it, but I'm trying to encourage you all. There's something you can do. You don't have to sit back and always listen to busybodies. But the thing about it, through my time, even in the church, on the jobs or whatever, had people, managers, to say to me, "Well, the woman with the whitest leg gets the job." Okay. She got white legs, but I got common sense. I ain't got no black hair. I mean, no blonde hair, but I bet you I got a good wig I can buy and put on. I was back in the corporate U.S. West, Quest. It was Quest back in those days. Then it became U.S. Mills. And first, when I first started, it was Mountain Bell. Then it changed and changed and changed. We couldn't wear pants. But when I got into corporate business as an executive, I had to wear suits every day, navy blue suits or black suit. You could not wear no pants. You had to wear light skull blouses. And because I was a seamstress, I knew how to do it because of a full figure woman. So I knew how to make my own clothes. So, but still, when you try to succeed, go up the ladder, there was always a hater that will pull you down. But I kept doing what I had to do. I shook it off. I kept doing what I had to do what I had to do until I finally retired from the company. And then most of it was in the church. And even in the church, every time somebody would speak a curse over me, it didn't stop me, because I knew who I was. And that's why I try to encourage everybody. Know who you are. Know where you came from. How'd you get where you're at? You didn't drop out of the sky. to that position, but a lot of us don't know. We don't have that encouraging spirit. We don't have the spirit in us to tell us, you are somebody. You can do that. You don't have to keep going round and round and round and round. Now, when we really want to go ahead and a person's in and put a person in their own place, you know, that's how it is naturally. Hold on a second, y'all. Let me grab one. You know, the natural man would say, you speak against something on me. See, I had, and I'll tell you this, I'll tell you all this. When I was in corporate, because of the stuff that I was having to deal with, I had a spirit that Peter has. And it wasn't ashamed of it. When in corporate, in order to mask some of the evilness that I had to deal with, I would take clients out to, had to take a client to dinner and get the client to sign a $5 million contract. That was easy for me. Because of the gift God had naturally given me, I had no problem speaking with people. I had to wine and dine them to get them to sign the contract. I knew how to do all of that. But what God is saying to, he said to Ezekiel, you know, you go do, you tell the people what I said. And if you try to put yourself in it, I'll shut your mouth and make your tongue cleave to the top of your mouth. And you won't say nothing until I tell you to say something. And I do believe sometimes that's what the enemy tries to do with me, tries to shut my mouth because I can so to keep you all, keep me from saying what God is telling me to say to you. I say it to leaders and they don't like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. God said it. His word says it. Yeah, you can hear what God is speaking to you, but his word says it right there. There's no other way around it. We have to do what God's word says. And so what God said to him, Ezekiel, no, yeah, you're frustrated. You're upset because they won't stop sinning. But don't go speak what you want to speak. You wait till I tell you to speak. He said, I'm going to shut your mouth and make your tongue cleave to the top of your mouth. And then when I'm ready for you to speak, I'll open it and let you speak. And God said that when he do that, then the people, they're not going to listen to you anyway, but you don't go in yourself and do what you want to do. You wait till I tell you to speak. And that's what he said. Now, we have the Spirit of God living in us. He's given us all power to trample over servants. I'll say that again. We have the Spirit. When you have the Spirit of God living in you, you have all power. Jesus told us that he wants us to be one like him and the Father is. When we accept Jesus in our life, the Spirit of God comes in us and gives us that power, that encouragement. No matter what stone, whatever's thrown at you, you don't have to backlash your tongue at him. You just say, you know, Father, you know, I know what I'm doing. But shut your mouth and allow God to give you the wisdom as to what to say. This is the end of the lesson, you all, but I really want to encourage you to get to know what the Word of God says. That's the best thing that I could ever say to you. Know what the Word of God says for yourself. Know what the Word of God says for yourself.